Again, today's sermon is inspired by Reverend Rolf Preuss. He titles it, Go to Church. So after our introduction here, we're going to discuss three desires of the Holy Spirit, that word implanted within us. And then we'll discuss here and unpack what it means that the Holy Spirit's going to and does convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. So it's kind of six parts here. When we are confirmed in the Lutheran Church, we confess that we agree with our baptism. Most of us were baptized as babies, and we didn't know how to talk. When we're old enough, we publicly confirm our baptism. We confess the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He is the only God who has ever existed, and He is our God. We also confess the teaching of the Church as our confession of faith. The teaching of Luther's small catechism is the teaching of the Scriptures, the Bible. This means that it is the teaching of the Holy Christian Church. We confess that it is true. When we are confirmed, we promise to be diligent in the use of the means of grace. That means going to church. That's our topic this morning. Consider with me three desires of the Holy Spirit within us, which pertain to our church attendance. At first, we go to church. Second, go to church that teaches the truth. And third, pay attention at church. First, the first desire of the Holy Spirit implanted within us, that is, to go to church. We go to church because that's where the Holy Spirit calls, gathers, and enlightens us. And we need the Holy Spirit. We cannot continue in our Christian faith and confession without Him. We need the Holy Spirit not only to call us to faith, but to keep us in the Christian faith throughout our lives. And the church is where the Holy Spirit is. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Paraclete or Comforter or Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Jesus sends the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus. He takes what belongs to Jesus and he makes it known. You go to church because you need Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is the one who brings Jesus to you and keeps you trusting in Jesus as your Savior from sin. The church is not a building, as the popular song goes, with a steeple on top, pews down the middle, and an altar and pulpit up front. No, properly speaking, the church is wherever the gospel is preached and the sacrament, the means of grace, the sacraments are rightly administered. This is the Holy Spirit's work. This is how the Holy Spirit takes what belongs to Christ and gives it to you. You can skip church. You can go to work. You can sleep in. You can drive somewhere or just sit in your chair contemplating your life. When you avoid going to church, you're avoiding the Holy Spirit, who is the Lord and giver of life. The Holy Spirit is the Comforter Jesus promised. He is the one who takes what belongs to the Father and the Son and gives it to you. To be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, as Brad and Kinsley were yesterday, is the beginning of a lifetime of going to church faithfully. To stay away from church is to walk away from our baptism, from our identity, from our salvation. The second desire of the Holy Spirit implanted within us. Go to a church that teaches the truth. Listen to what Jesus says about the Holy Spirit. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. Jesus calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth because He reveals the truth to us. Jesus promised His apostles that the Holy Spirit would guide them into all truth. He did. We can be confident that the New Testament is true because the Spirit of truth led its writers into all truth. God's self-verifying, His God-tested God authenticated truth. Since the truth is eyewitnessed and written down for us, we can know it. Jesus promised that if we continue in his word, we will know the truth, and the truth will set us free. This is why we go to a church that teaches the truth. We don't attend church because it has a beautiful facility, which we do, or a friendly pastor, we'll let you decide, or a welcoming atmosphere, which we do have these things. These are wonderful things, but that's not why you go to church. We belong to and attend a church because it teaches the truth. Biblical, God-verifying, God-tested, eyewitness, written down for us, truth. And by this truth, the Holy Spirit makes us holy. He doesn't make us holy by telling us lies or fables or myths, but by telling us the truth. As Jesus prayed to his Father, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. We believe, teach, and confess the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Not all churches hold to the whole truth of God's word. Some churches reject holy mysteries that they cannot understand. Some say that baptism does not give the forgiveness of sins, does not save, does not give to you and seal you in the Holy Spirit. But it's just an outward expression of our faith. Some churches say that the bread and wine of the Lord's Supper are just mere symbols, a remembrance ceremony, but that they don't give the forgiveness of sins and the real body and blood of Christ. Some claim that the Bible has errors in it and question the accuracy of what the Bible reports as having happened, whether the six-day creation, the miraculous crossing of the Red Sea, the miracles of Jesus, his virgin birth and resurrection, all these things they question. Some of these same churches ordain women as pastors when God just says no. Some reject other commandments of God. Some add commandments of their own. Some teach salvation by good works, salvation by having a good heritage, a good bloodline, salvation by chance or lottery, salvation by a hope and a prayer. I hope I'll be saved. But not salvation by faith in Christ alone. But God's word, the Spirit of truth, says you are saved by God's grace through faith in Christ alone. So go to a church that teaches the truth and run, flee from those who do not. The Spirit of truth sanctifies us through the truth. It is necessary to judge the teaching of a church, to discern the spirit, to examine the voice to which that church belongs. We must do that. That's the responsibility of every Christian. The Holy Spirit sanctifies us by the truth, not by falsehood. Jesus himself is our good shepherd who warns us about false teachers and false prophets and says, my sheep will avoid these and will listen to my voice alone. The third desire of the Holy Spirit implanted within us. Pay attention in church. Going to church isn't for show. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian. Going to church doesn't save you just by going. We must believe. And it's not for sleeping in or daydreaming either. And I see you. I know you. Assuming that you're attending a church that is faithful to God's word, the Holy Spirit is actively exposing the false religions of the world and showing it to be wrong. That's what the Holy Spirit does. You need to listen to pay close attention. You're not hearing in church what you're hearing out there in the world. In fact, you're hearing the opposite of what you take in through popular music, television, the internet, and just about every other source of information, amusement, entertainment, and conversation out there. You get 1 hour of truth a week, maybe, and the rest of the hours of the whole week are out there in the world. Many voices, but only one voice of truth. Specifically, the Holy Spirit tells you that the world in which you live 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year, is wrong about sin, righteousness, and judgment. These are important topics, for your place in heaven or in hell depends on this. And you want to be on the right side of the Holy Spirit. So listen up. The world is wrong about sin. How is that? Jesus explains, because they do not believe in me. The world thinks sin is offending against its standards of right and wrong. And since those standards change, so does sin. Years ago, many of you probably remember, I don't really, but the world said that homosexuality was a sin. It was a common thought. Now the world says that it's a sin to say that homosexuality is a sin. See how it flipped? The world lets popular opinion, democratic processes, and not God decide what is and is not sin. And one thing you could be sure of, the world doesn't think it's a sin not to believe in Jesus. God says it is. The Father pointed to his beloved Son and says, "Listen to him." The Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin because they don't believe in Jesus. Jesus said, "If you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins." In other words, if you don't believe that I, Jesus, the crucified and risen one for your salvation, am the one and only Lord and God, you will be eternally lost. The world attacks this teaching, but the Holy Spirit will not be silent. There is no God but the God who sent his Son. There is no God but the Son who went to the cross to suffer and to die for our sins. There is no God but the Holy Spirit who convicts the world of sin because they do not believe in Jesus. Only Jesus can take away sin. This is why it is the greatest sin, the sin not believing in Christ. The sin will not be forgiven either in this world or the next. We must trust in him for the forgiveness of sins, through whom we have everlasting life. The world is wrong about sin because the world is wrong about Jesus. So says the Spirit of Truth. Secondly, the world is wrong about righteousness. Pay attention in church and listen to what the Holy Spirit convicted the world of concerning righteousness. The world is wrong about what is and is not righteous before God. The world points to all of its great achievements and its claims of every description. Here is righteousness, here is justice, here is beauty and purity and goodness. But the Holy Spirit says, no. All your greatest achievements are nothing but sin and failure. The Holy Spirit compares the holiest and most righteous deeds of humanity with what we flush down the toilet, and it gets clogged. That's how impressed God is with the world's boasts and brags. True righteousness is Jesus going to the Father. Jesus says the Holy Spirit will convict the world of righteousness because I go to the Father and you see me no more. Jesus fulfilled all righteousness by going to the cross, by going there to suffer and to die for us. It was pure and holy obedience to God, even in the face of mockery, of torment and suffering. And more than that, it was offered to God for us. Our righteousness before God is not anything that we do. It is the obedience of Jesus that he did for us. We can't see Jesus. Scriptures tell us this. We know this. We can't see our righteousness. When I baptized the two yesterday, we gave them a little white garment to show that they've been clothed with Christ. But you can't see them being clothed with Christ. Jesus is hidden from our sight. But he is quite active. He pleads for us before God. He points to his obedience for us in the Scriptures, done as our substitute. And for his sake, God reckons to be righteous. The world cries out, pay attention to our wonderful works. Pay attention to our great achievements. But the Holy Spirit says, no, you're wrong. Anybody trusting in his works is trusting in sin and will surely be lost. Jesus Christ alone is your righteousness before God. God be praised. Lastly here, the world is wrong about judgment. The world follows its prince. Jesus calls him the father of lies. He's also called Satan. Satan accuses Christians. He says that you are not righteous, but God says you are. God says you are clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. God says that your sins are forgiven, and his obedience is reckoned to you as righteousness, so that you may stand before God as saints. So says God. But Satan argues with God. He says that saints aren't saints. He judges us to be fools and worse. But the Holy Spirit shows Satan to be wrong. Satan is judged. His judgment came at the cross, where Jesus crushed Satan's head once and for all, destroying his ability to accuse us God's saints. So don't forget your status as Christians. You are saints, the holy ones of God. Not because of anything you've done or haven't done, but because of the suffering and death of Jesus and this declaration of God. God says that your sins are forgiven and that Christ's righteousness belongs to you. That is God's judgment against the powers of darkness that would stand in judgment of you. The devil is a bully and a liar. He leads you into sin and says that sin defines you. It's who you are. Not that you're given into drunkenness, but that you are a drunkard. Not that you've fornicated, but that you are a fornicator. This is what this Satan desires to classify you as, and that you would be proud in such classifications. This is how he lures you away from God. He judges you and cons you into thinking that he speaks for God. But you know better. You know that God forgives penitent sinners. He justifies them. He restores them. He gives them a new identity, a sanctified identity in Christ, and keeps us safe in his holy word. You know this because the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, has convinced you. So go to church. There is the Spirit. Go to church that teaches the truth. The Holy Spirit makes you holy through this truth. Pay attention in church. The Holy Spirit shows the world is wrong about sin, about righteousness, about judgment. This is how he comforts you and keeps you steadfast in the true Christian faith until the day you die. God be praised. Amen. We stand to sing the offertory.